Okay, it's good to be with you this morning. 58 years ago, I was invited to go with some friends from college to Gold Hill Baptist Church in Buckinghamshire. And there the minister was a man called David Paulson. Some of you may have heard of him. He did an awful lot for my Christian life. And I just got a Bible with loose leaves that had been given to me when I went to college. And on those loose leaves, I used to write notes of the headings of the sermon. And 58 years ago, he preached on some of the Psalms. And one psalm he preached on was this Psalm 133, and wrote the headings down, and transferred the headings to the New International Bible, which I use today. And I thought I'd use those headings to be able to do a talk for us today. The headings he gave were three: showing love, shining lightness, and sharing life. And we're going to look at those headings as we follow this psalm this morning. What makes a songwriter write songs? Well, in the time long ago, when England won Eurovision, some of you may have been alive then, you needed to have a puppet on a string going boom, bang, a bang, saving all your kisses for me in order to be making your mind up. Until someone got nearer to our psalm this morning with "Love, Shine a Light." Since then, with light being more likely to get null than be winning the Eurovision contest. But in the time of the Psalms, songs were written to express reactions to life. We've already seen this as we've looked together in recent weeks at Psalm 87, Psalm 23, and Psalm 37 in our Psalm for Living Every Day series during August. Today, as we study Psalm 133, we see that this is no different. David wrote songs as an emotional reaction to his circumstances. He wrote songs when he felt depressed and sinking fast. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are typical examples where he just said, "Why am I cast down, O my soul?" He felt not only low in spirit, but he was also low in body. When he wrote those psalms, he was by the waters of En Gedi, the lowest spot on earth's surface. His spiritual condition and spiritual earthly condition were interlocked. I'm sure some of us have felt like this. But, you know, Psalm 133 is different. It's called a song of ascents. So someone was rising in body as well as in spirit, for it's come out of a real-life situation. And I just want to picture that scene for you. David is looking at a group of people whose bodies and spirits are rising. Here's the scene. The city of Jerusalem in the time of David. The people's houses roll at the bottom. The king's palace was halfway up the hill, and the house of God, where they went to worship, was right at the top. The temple hadn't been built, but they went up there to worship. And this song was written by David as he stood on the balcony of his palace that day. Some good things happened as he stood on the balcony of his palace, as well as bad things. But he watched the people just crowding up that main street. It was one of those annual feasts where people had come from Dan to Beersheba, from one end of the country to another. Up the street, there they were, passing up past the palace, going to worship God together. And this sight inspired David to write a song. The poetry and the music just flowed out. And let's analyze it in these three headings I've given you. Firstly, showing love. I'm going to look at verse 1. Because I've looked at it in numerous versions this week, you could read about 20 versions, and none of them are quite the same. But these four versions I'm going to look at. Okay. You can see there. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The next one. Can't see it from there. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. I'm going to dwell on that little word that's not in the NIV. The word behold. As we would say today, hey, just look at that. I can almost hear David when he's on the balcony shouting down below, quick, come and look. There's something wonderful to look at. Unusual. You must see it. David's watching this crowd of people coming together up the street. So what's so wonderful about that? Well, two things. The first one is good is pleasant. You know, that's quite a rare sight. There are plenty of things in life that we decide as pleasant, but are not good for you. And there are plenty of things that are good for you that don't seem very pleasant. Darling, eat up your Brussels sprouts. They're good for you. And we see that picture of that girl's face. And we immediately associate something for good for us with something that we don't like. Don't do that, love, we're told. And so the forbidden becomes attractive. But David sees such a rare thing that he wants everyone else to see it. He's seen that which is good being pleasant at the same time. Holiness and happiness belong together. That's right. Holiness and happiness belong together. They refer to different senses. The word good belongs to the sense of sight, good to see. The Hebrew word translated pleasant means harmonious to the ear, the sound a musical instrument gives when it's played correctly. And this gives a clue to what David's seeing. In a word, harmony. That unique thing that David's been seeking among his people all his life. And this brings us to the second rare thing. Relatives are friends. Now, most of us have two categories. especially at places like weddings, when we draw up lists. We have the relatives that we must invite, say our parents, and the friends we want to invite. But there's not enough room for all. But happy are those whose relatives are friends. The deepest rifts in life are often between the same family. People who are physically related but are just not on speaking terms. And when we read this psalm, up to this stage in history, about 1000 BC, when David wrote it, the story is just of one line of brothers who didn't get on together. It starts with the first two brothers in history, Cain and Abel, and one murdered the other. And from then on, it's a sad story of brothers who couldn't live together. Take Abraham and Lot. Abraham said, "I think it's better that we live apart, for we are brothers, and we're better living separately, for we can't get on together." Thirdly, take Abraham and Lot. Oh, that was it. We saw that. Next one is Ishmael and Isaac, the two sons of Jacob. Look what happened to them. One bullied the other, and that brotherly feud is responsible for the biggest rift in history today, the rift between Israeli and Arab. The next generation, Jacob and Esau, look at the tension that rose between these two brothers throughout their life. And then there were 12 brothers. Joseph dreamt, and all his brothers hated him and sold him to slavery. Joseph got his revenge later on. But when Moses led the 12 tribes, all descended from brothers. He had to constantly strive for unity between them. Then when the 12 tribes finally entered the promised land, what happened then? You read the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and the divided were defeated again and again and again. Eventually, they wanted a king, and they chose Saul. But his reign was not a time of peace. So they had an official king and an unofficial king, and David was the unofficial one. And David wrote Psalm 133 from experience, for there was trouble even within his own family. And when Samuel came to look for a king to replace Saul, he looked for seven sons within Jesse's family. The elder six stood there, handsome, tall, strong. But Samuel said, "No, God has not chosen one of you." They were quite sure that one of them would be picked as king. And Samuel asked for the lad in the fields to be brought there. And from this point, it seems there was little love lost between David and his brothers. So right up to this psalm being written, the story is of brothers who couldn't get on. David longed for a time when the whole people of God stood united and together and in harmony. David fought for it. He prayed for it. He sang for it. He worked for it. And when Psalm 133 was written, he finally saw it. What was that? Unity. And as he watched from his balcony, he just wanted to grab his guitar and burst into song. And he said, there's a song coming, folks. And that was the theme of the psalm, unity. And that's verse 1. People showing love together. And now we go to verse 2. Shining likeness. Read those words. David waxes poetic, and he paints pictures in words. He sees two extraordinary pictures in his mind, and I puzzled about these when I read them. What connection is there between Aaron's beard and that crowd, and between snow-capped Mount Hermon and that crowd? Well, yes, both pitchers had liquid in them, and in both pitchers, the liquid's falling. Oil's falling from the bowl onto Aaron, the high priest's head, from his head dribbling down his beard, from his beard onto his collar, and that's what the people smelt when they saw Aaron. And there's dew falling in the second picture. This is Mount Hermon in the north. Actually, in the Hebrew, the word falling comes three times in this psalm. And as David sees a crowd of happy faces climbing up to God's house at the very top, he sees them all wet with sweat running down. And he knows they're united in happiness to be able to go up to worship God together. He sees, in a word, harmony among God's people. Harmony among God's people. And secondly, as the wind blew, there was a lovely dew among the hills that surrounded Jerusalem. And as David looked at those glistening faces, he said, it's just like that dew. Dew made that country barren, hard, ground, transformed into a place that was green, soft, fruitful, and fertile. And as David looked at that harmony among the people of God, he says, that makes a sweet smell to God, so they're able to enter into God's presence and worship. And secondly, it's also like dew that would make them fruitful and fertile instead of being hard and cold and rocky. Only harmony does it. Oil and water never mix, except in Scripture. And David's just so thrilled that he's seen it, he bursts into song at the wonder of it. Graham Kendrick would have sung these words, as we gaze on your kingly likeness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored there, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Let's take a short break and sing this lovely song together.